Praise God. We're going to look for a few moments at the scriptures concerning the day of Pentecost. And coming from a Pentecostal background, most of us here probably, you think I'm going to be talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to do that today. We're just going to look at the history behind the day of Pentecost, and we're going to do another couple of messages after this. That we'll get into other aspects of it. But anyway, the day of Pentecost, and this is part one. Don't know how many parts it's going to be, but we'll go until we feel we got it done. The day of Pentecost, part one, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Let's bow together for a word of prayer before we look into the Word of God this morning. Father in heaven, we're so thankful once again, Lord, for the privilege of being here today. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit has already been ministering in our midst today. Thank you, Lord, for the Gideons, the presentation, Lord, the testimonies. We, Lord, so thankful, Father, for the work and the ministry that you've called them to. Bless our brother and sister, Lord, as they lead it here in this area, Lord, and a part of it. We just ask, Lord, your blessing be upon them, upon their families, Lord, in every aspect of their lives. Now, Father, as we look into the Word of God this morning, we just ask that you would just grant us wisdom. Help us, Lord, to see things in this today, Father, that we could appreciate more what Jesus has done for us. We thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The day of Pentecost, part 1. And Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And if you've grown up in Pentecostal church especially, you should memorize this and know these verses off by heart there. But anyway, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now the word Pentecost is not talking about a denomination, is not even talking about an experience as such. Even though, you know, there's things spin off from that. But the word Pentecost itself comes from the Greek word Pentecostos. And it means 50. That's all it means, 50. Okay? It's 50 days after the Passover. We joke about it all the time. We say stuff like that. If you're 50 years old, you're Pentecost. Like it or lump it. You know. But it just basically means 50. That's what the word Pentecost means. Back under the old covenant, the Jewish people celebrated what they called a Feast of Weeks, same festival. In the New Testament, it's called Pentecost. The Greek change on it turned to Pentecost, and in the English is Pentecost or Pentecostal. But anyway, that's what the word means. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, in other words, when it was fully ripe time, and God always moves when everything is right on time. You ever notice that? The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. It seems like God never, you know, he's never in a hurry to do stuff. He's never late. And, you know, he's always right on time. And so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now notice this here, a sound from heaven. There's all kinds of debate in the church world today about baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, Pentecost, and all these different things. And, I mean, you get from one spectrum to the other. People, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, it's from God. Other people say, no, that's from the devil. I've got relatives that, you know, at a different line of thought, and they believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit today is, if anybody speaks in tongues today, is from the devil. But notice what he says here, there came a sound from heaven. Okay, the sound came from heaven, never came from hell. You get that? It came from heaven. He said, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, I don't have time to get into all the, if I comment on everything here this morning, we'll get through it. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, notice the word there, all. And I underline that one for a reason, because some people say, well, that's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. You know, that's not for me. That's, you know, if you believe in that stuff, that's fine, but it's not for me. But notice what it says here, it's for all. Okay, they were all filled. And, you know, and if it wasn't, some people say, well, maybe it's not God's will for me to have it. Well, if it wasn't God's will for you to have it, maybe someone here, it wouldn't be all. There's 120 people there. You know, so if all received back then, I believe it was God's desire that all would receive today. Now, let me explain something. When we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as I said, I'm not going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit as such. I'm just going to finish off here and scoot to another scripture now in a minute. But when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit, and all these different things, it's not a Pentecostal denominational thing. Okay, sometimes we feel, and I know my own upbringing, and many of you have been the same thing. We got saved, or at least we thought we were. And then they came out, and some people said, "Well, you know, you're not fully saved until you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit." How many have heard people teach like that? Yeah, right. You know, until you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, then we know you're saved. Well, thank God, my salvation is based on more than if I can speak in tongues or not. It's based on the blood of Jesus. Okay, the minute you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Now, years ago, in one of our churches in Newfoundland, there was a Salvation Army officer. We were close friends, and they were renovating their church. And so, some of our men from the church, one time we were in a prayer meeting together, and we saw them working. They were just, you know, across the parking lot from us. And we said, "Why don't we go over and help them out?" You know, they just had a few men in their church. So we decided one night we were going to go over and give them a hand with painting and whatever, you know. And so we went over there, and the officer was up on a ladder doing something up with a hatchway going into the ceiling out in the back room there. And when I passed along, he said, "Steve," he said, "I got to talk to you about something." And he said, "This," he said, "the baptism of the Holy Spirit," he said, "speaking in tongues," he said, "that you fellows got." And as soon as he said that, there's something clicked in my spirit. And I said, "Listen," I said, "first of all," I said, "let's get something straight." I said, "it's not something that we've got." I said, "this is for the entire body. This is for the entire body of Christ. It's got nothing to do with denominations. It's got nothing to do with, you know, if I believe in it, or the church believes in it, or anything else. It's what God gave to the church. It's a gift that God gave to the church." You know, and so, yeah, we had a discussion about it. But a little while after that, his daughter was in St. John's in university. And she went to what they call Chi Alpha. Now, if you're not familiar, the Pentecostal Assemblies, they got a Chi Alpha group. Chi Alpha is a CA in the Greek language. It means Christ ambassadors. So anyway, in the local church was called CAs, but when they got into the universities, they had a group in there called Chi Alpha. They used the Greek letters instead. And they were in there, and they had some services or something going on. But anyway, phone rang 2 o'clock in the morning. And this was a Salvation Army officer on the other end of the phone. He says, "Steve." And he called his daughter by name. He said, "She got the baptism of the Holy Spirit." He says, "She just called me from St. John's. She just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit." 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. And he was all excited about it. And God has blessed them and used them in ministry and different things. But notice here that they were all filled. It's for everyone. It's for the entire body of Christ. It's not a denominational thing. You know, it's got nothing to do with denominations. It was there before the denominations were even thought of. It's a gift that God gave to the body of Christ. Anyway, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's not as, you know, somebody say, "Now say these words after me." I don't go for that stuff. I believe as the Spirit gives the utterance, as the Holy Spirit leads you. Anyway, it worked. I put sounds on this, and I said, "I'm going to see if this works this morning." I forgot it. When I go into a different book, totally different book of the Bible, I'm going to put a sound there just for... Anyway, now, we're going back to the book of Exodus. We're just talking about Pentecost. This was the day of Pentecost. We all understand that there in Acts chapter 2, okay? Pentecost, most theologians would agree with this, that it's the birthday of the church. Okay, it's the birthday of the church. It's when the church was born. Now, notice what it says right here. And this goes back into the Old Testament. This is the first Pentecost. Okay, the very first Pentecost. This is what happened. Okay? And it came to pass, this is Exodus chapter 19, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders. Now notice what happens there. There were thunders and lightnings. Let me just preface this. This is when the law was given. You ask any Jewish rabbi, you ask any Jewish person, why did he celebrate the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost or Shavuot, they call it. Why did he celebrate it? It was on this week, actually. This is the week of celebration in Jewish culture. And it's because they say it's the day that God gave the law, the day that God gave the Ten Commandments. Okay, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. Now notice this, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. God's presence came down. God said to Moses, he said, "Moses, we're going to make a covenant together." And just prior to this, God said to him and you know, gave him instructions, and Moses brought it to the people, and they said, "Everything God told us we can do. There's no problem." There's no, you know, I was looking at a Jewish video this week and talking about Shavuot from their perspective. And he said they were glad to get this covenant from God. They looked at it as if we can do that. There's no problem. The same thing we've been saying for the last year or so. The Jewish people look at it arrogantly, like there's no problem for us to do that. But there was a problem. They couldn't do it. Before Moses even got down, they broke the laws. You know. But anyway, this is when the law was given. So all the people that were in the camp trembled because there's all this thunder and lightning and the darkness and everything up on top of the mountain. And the mountain began to shake and different things. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mountain. And Mount Sinai, now there's two mountains that we're talking about here today, but Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. Okay, there's a difference between these two mountains, the covenants. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And notice this, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. The mountain was shaking, and you know, God's presence came down upon the mountain. Now, if you read this, God told Moses, he said, Moses, on 3 days, and we're reading about the third day here now, he said, in 3 days, I'm going to come down upon this mountain. He said, gather the people out. He said, come out and meet me. He said, we're going to make this covenant, bring in the Ten Commandments and the law. And when Moses brought the people out, the Bible says he stood at the foot of the mountain. God told Moses, put a fence around the mountain. He said, if anybody tries to get through, he said, even if an animal gets through, he said, kill it. They couldn't come close to God's presence. And when God's presence came upon the mountain began to shake, and the rocks began to crack, and you know, all the noise and the roar and everything else that was there. And the Bible says the mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, I mean, there's a trumpet blast, you know, about these, woo! That's not a good trumpet imitation, but you get the idea. Okay, and it was getting louder and louder and louder. And Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Now, going over, that was Mount Sinai. That's when the law was given. That was the very first Pentecost. Okay, the Feast of Weeks. From that time on, and what that was, 50 days. Remember, they crossed the Red Sea. Okay, and you start counting from the time they crossed the Red Sea. 50 days later, this is what happened. Okay, and they went through, you know the story, they went through the waters, there was no water to drink, and there was no food to eat, and God sent manna and all these different things. All that took place in a 50-day period, and this happened on the 50th day, that God came down upon the mountain and called Moses up to receive the Ten Commandments. Now, over in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer to the Hebrews makes a difference between the first Pentecost and what we call the first Pentecost in the New Covenant. Okay, that was the first Pentecost under the Old Covenant, Feast of Weeks they called it, or as they call it today, Shavuot. Close enough to do it anyway. And so that was the first Pentecost. But now the first Pentecost in the New Testament, things are different. Notice what happens here. Moses, the writer to the Hebrews saying here, he said, for ye are not come. Okay, now, we just read about the Old Covenant. Let's look at this. This is the Old Covenant side again. We've done this for the last couple of years. This is the Old Covenant side. This is the New Covenant side. Okay? What we just read took place over here under this covenant. Okay? When God gave this covenant. There were thunders and lightnings, rocks splitting, and you know, all the fear and everything else that was associated with it. Right here. Now, the writer to the Hebrews. Now, notice he's writing to, who's he writing to? Hebrews. Right? He's not writing to Canadians or Americans or British or anything. He's writing to Hebrews, the people that were under this covenant right here. Okay? Now, he's writing to them because, and you need to understand what happened in the book of Hebrews. People got saved, start believing the new covenant, but there's a group came in, same thing happened in Galatians. Judaizers tried to get them to come back under the old covenant again. So the writer to the Hebrews is saying, listen, he said, we've not come to the mountain that burns with fire and smoke and all these other things. Okay? Now, so he said, for ye are not come unto the mountain that might be touched, that burn with fire and blackness and darkness and tempest. He said, you never came to this mountain here. This new covenant you're in now is not from this mountain. Okay? Now, he says, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word would not be spoken to them anymore. Now, if you go back here and continue reading where we're at a few minutes ago in Exodus chapter 19, when God spoke, it frightened the people so much. They said to Moses, from now on, you talk to God and bring the message to us. Don't let God do that anymore. It frightened them so much, they said, don't allow God to do that anymore. Now, see, that's not what God wanted. God wanted to have a relationship with people. He didn't want this barrier between them. Okay? But his presence was so much, and here's the problem. Under the old covenant, their, God's blessing upon them was dependent upon their behavior, was dependent upon their performance, how good they could keep the law. If you, God said, if you are diligent, obey my voice diligently, you know, keep all the statutes and all these different things, he said, then, he said, I'll bless you. But if you don't, you read it in Deuteronomy chapter 28 there. He said, but if you don't, he said, all these curses are going to come upon you. Okay, and God didn't want that. Now here's something you don't understand. This new covenant over here, curses aren't even mentioned. It's just talking about the blessings that have come upon you. Okay, over here you had blessings or cursings. This is what amazes me. People still want to live under the Ten Commandments, want to live under the law. You're living under a system where you've got to work in order to get God's blessings. I'd rather get over here in this covenant where Jesus has already done the work and given me his blessings. Okay, now anyway. So he said, you'd not come to this mountain that burned with fire and smoke and all these different things, for they could not endure that which was commanded, that even if much of a beast would touch the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight, in other words, so terrifying was this sight on Mount Sinai, that Moses himself said, I exceedingly fear and quake. I mean, Moses himself, I tell you, it gets pretty bad when the pastor starts getting afraid of it. When God is showing up and the pastor gets afraid, you know, you need to say, we used to joke sometimes, like when people come into a Pentecostal service and, you know, to see people sometimes crying or shouting or whatever, you know. And we used to always say to people, now, don't get nervous. If you see me get nervous, then you can get nervous. But, you know, just keep your eyes up here. If, you know, if nobody gets nervous on the platform, we're used to this. But if you see us get nervous, then it's time for you to get nervous. Well, Moses was getting nervous. God's presence was so powerful that Moses himself exceedingly fear. He said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now, he said, you never came to this mountain. He said, but you are come onto Mount Zion. Okay, over here, Mount Zion, he said, you are come onto Mount Zion. And then he gives us some description of what's on this mountain. Okay, this new covenant, in other words. Okay, so he says, onto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. I mean, over here, it was loneliness. You weren't allowed to get close to God. You were, you know, it was a fearful thing. Over here, he said, you've come to a totally different mountain now. You've come to the city of the living God. You've come to the new Jerusalem. You've come to, he said, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Now notice this, Moses was the mediator of the old covenant. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that Moses was as a servant over a house. He said, but Jesus owns the house. See the difference? It's a totally different covenant we're in today. Now, and he said, to Jesus, the mediator for the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, there's a couple of ways you can look at this. Remember, Abel was killed by his brother Cain. Cain slew Abel. And God said, he said, your brother's blood is crying out from the ground. Remember that? Some theologian believes it's talking about the sacrifice that Abel made at that time. The blood of that sacrifice, whichever it was, is still basically the same message anyway. But Abel's blood, if we're talking about Abel's blood himself, Abel's blood was crying out for vengeance. You know, to get back at the person that hurt me, to get back at the person that killed me, is calling out for vengeance. Jesus' blood speaks better things, the Bible says. His blood is crying out mercy, grace, compassion toward the sinner. You understand? Over here, the same problem again. Over here, if you're talking about Abel's sacrifice, the blood of Abel's sacrifice, the blood of Abel's sacrifice was only temporary. The blood of Jesus' sacrifice is eternal. You understand that? The Bible says he has offered one sacrifice for sin forever. And this part here will blow your mind if you stop and think about it through. He said he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. You put your trust in Jesus, you are perfected forever. You say, well, I blew up yesterday. I did this, or I said something wrong, or did something wrong, or looked at something. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have been here. Listen, you're perfected forever. You're made righteous forever. Now, let me explain this. We talked about this a little bit the other night in Bible study. You are made righteous forever in God's sight the minute you give your heart to Jesus. Because it's not your righteousness, it's his righteousness. You can't make that righteousness any better. You know, a lot of times, see, really we're just slapping it back in Jesus' face. We're saying, I don't really think your righteousness is good, so I got to keep my rules too. I got to try to keep myself righteous because I don't know if your righteousness is going to get me into heaven or not. Listen, you're getting into heaven because of his righteousness. The Bible says all of your righteousness, my righteousness, is filthy rags in God's sight. That's our good points. Can you imagine what our bad points look like? All of our righteousness is filthy rags in God's sight. So we have to stand on his righteousness. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Remember that song? It's his righteousness. Now, let me say something. You are righteous as you'll ever be. Okay, if you've given your heart to the Lord, you're as righteous as you'll ever be. You will never make yourself more righteous. Now, I didn't say you are sinless. Okay, on this side of it, I can see your problems, you can see my problems. But as far as God is concerned, we're washed in the blood of Jesus. And his blood cleanses from every sin. And I've told you before, that cleansing, that word cleanses, is like being in a brook. The water is just washing over you all the time. The blood is just cleansing you all the time. The minute you make a mistake, the blood is there cleansing you all the time in God's sight. God's not looking at your sin anymore. See, under the old covenant, your sins and iniquities have separated you between you and God. Under the new covenant, he said, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. See, there's a difference. Now, I like that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay? So we started out in Acts. We went back to Exodus, look at the first Pentecost. Then we went over to Hebrews, where he's telling us that we're not under the old covenant, we're under the new covenant. And this is what took place on the day of Pentecost. And notice what he calls the old covenant. Some people say, well, you know, I still think we got to, you know, keep the laws of the old covenant. Notice what he says here. He said, who also has made us able ministers of the new covenant. Okay, God made us able ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, that's over here. The letter of the law. Okay? The letter of the law says, you break the law, you die. You ever heard people say, tell it like it is? You ever hear people say, you know, that's it, Pastor, preach it like it is. You hear people talk like that? Okay, preach it as it is, we're forgiven. Preach it as it was, that's what a lot of pastors are doing, a lot of preachers are doing today. Sometimes you get them on TV and they come out hellfire and brimstone. They're preaching it as it was, they're not preaching it as it is when the price has already been paid for it. You understand that? See, preaching as it was, you know, is all black and white. You hear people talk like that sometimes? You know, God's law says this, and you know, you got to do this. This is what happened when they brought that woman to Jesus that was caught in adultery. Moses said, we got to stone her. What do you say? And I've told you this a dozen times. I don't have to get into that story again. I've told you this a dozen times. Whenever law and grace come face to face, grace always wins. Okay? Because Jesus came to bring us grace. We'll get into that verse in a minute. He said, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. I'm just going back and forth here. Now. The letter, the whole old covenant, kills. But the Spirit gives life. See the difference? I mean, who would want to live under that covenant any longer? The Bible says in the Hebrews that God found fault with this covenant. And that's why he brought in a new covenant. Anyway, I tell you, it wouldn't be long. I'm trying to keep to that. But I know you don't believe it no more than I do. Notice what he says here. The administration of death. This covenant here is the administration of death. He said, if the administration of death written and engraven in stones. What was written and engraven in stones? 10 Commandments. God called it the administration of death. Okay, it'll destroy you. You hear that kind of preaching all the time, it'll destroy you. That's why a lot of people are not in churches today, because that's all they heard is all this condemnation all the time. The administration of death, he said, written in stones. He said, if that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look upon the face of Moses for that glory of his countenance, he said, which glory was to be done away with? The glory of this covenant was only there for a time period. It was to be done away with. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be more glorious, be rather glorious? For if the administration of condemnation, see this covenant here, condemn you. How many people have been in church and all they've heard is condemnation all the time? Because we've been preaching from Mount Sinai. If the administration of condemnation be glory, much more does the administration of righteousness exceed in glory. I've said this before. You can go out and turn on a flashlight outside and get a little bit of light. But when the sun comes up, that flashlight is useless. Right? And that's what the old covenant was like. It was like a flashlight shining in the darkness. But then all of a sudden, he said, "Arise, shine." He said, "For your light has come." And when the sun rises, the flashlight is not needed anymore. Got that? Now, there you go. That may, when you hear that sound, we're getting close to the end. Okay, so everybody can say amen. Moses and Jesus. Okay, this covenant here was Moses. This covenant here was Jesus. Now, everybody, you fellows from now on are going to be listening to that sound. I can hear that. Okay, Moses. Let's go back over this side. Moses got his covenant on Mount Sinai. Jesus, the covenant is on Mount Zion. Okay? Moses brought in the old covenant. Jesus brought in a new covenant. I get dizzy at this. I'll go this way. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Moses, the covenant of law. Jesus, the covenant of grace. Moses, his covenant is ended. Remember the Bible says the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, but after the seed came, after this Christ came, you're no longer under the schoolmaster. Okay, got that in Hebrews, or Galatians rather? Okay, so Moses, his covenant ended on the day of Pentecost. Okay, this is what the day of Pentecost is all about. That covenant ended. Jesus brought in a new covenant. Okay, his covenant has just begun. Now, the letter we just read kills, the Spirit gives life. The covenant of works, you're blessed on if you're working good, if you're a good worker, if you're good at keep rules, you get blessings. If you don't, you get cursings. Okay? So it's based on works, covenant of works. This covenant is a covenant of faith. You put your trust in Jesus for what he's done. Okay? This covenant, the first one that we talked about earlier, the first Pentecost, okay, on Mount Sinai. Jesus is the first Pentecost under the new covenant, brought in a new covenant. Okay, the first Pentecost, the day of Pentecost under the new covenant was the birthday of the church, as we said earlier. On that day when the Ten Commandments were given, 3,000 people died. On the day when the new covenant was given, 3,000 people got saved. Remember when Peter stood up and preached? On that covenant right here on Mount Sinai, people ran from God. They said, "Moses, tell God, never do that again." On this one, people ran up and said, "What's going on? What's going on? What's all this noise about?" And everybody ran to see what was happening. This covenant was a covenant of condemnation. Every time you made a mistake, every time you sinned, you're condemned for it. This covenant, the Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. This covenant over here was glorious. This covenant over here was more glorious. This covenant over here was the old priesthood. This covenant here was a new priesthood. The Bible says that was based upon the Aaronic priesthood. Aaron was the priest, the Levitical priesthood. Paul said if Jesus was on the earth, or the writer to the Hebrews says, if Jesus was on the earth, he said he wouldn't even be a priest. He said, for one thing, he said the priests on the earth, he said, were Levites. He said Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. He said, not only that, he said, Aaron's priesthood, he said, was limited by death. The priest would get so old and die. He said, but this priesthood is forever. He said, based on an endless life. This one was under the priesthood of Aaron, as I said. This one is under the order of Melchizedek. It's eternal. That's the last dealing. Moses and Jesus. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 17. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Okay, there's a difference between the two covenants. Notice this, the law was given. Okay, you can give something from afar off, like, you know, you can send something. But when God wanted to manifest his grace and his truth. Now notice, let me explain something there. Well, let's grace and truth came. Jesus came with it. Okay? Over here, he sent the Ten Commandments. Over here, he sent his Son. Okay? Jesus came and brought grace and truth. Now, there was truth under the Old Covenant. You can read the Old Covenant. Yes, black and white. I mean, there's lots of truth there. But there's no mercy there. There's no grace there. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Okay? We have a totally different covenant. Totally different way that God relates to man. Things that you were judged for severely under the old covenant. You look at it, you say, well, how come under the old covenant, I mean, you pick up sticks on the Sabbath day, you'd be stoned to death. In a new covenant, I mean, you can do all kinds of stuff, and Jesus seemed like he always overrode it. He wasn't overriding it. Jesus was fulfilling the covenant. We talked about this a few Sunday nights ago. Jesus came to fulfill the old covenant. The old covenant law had so many rules and regulations that we could never reach. Jesus came and fulfilled every one of them. He lived a sinless life, a spotless life, kept the law perfectly. And he died, went to heaven, went to the cross and died and shed his blood and took that into the throne room of heaven, the Bible tells us, before God. And God counts his righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, now and gives it to me. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, that God gave us the gift of righteousness. And he said, the righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled in us who put our faith and trust in Jesus. Okay, not in my own works, but as in his work I rest. Okay, it was a completed work that Jesus did. Jesus finished it, paid one sacrifice for sin forever. And you might as well make up your mind, you're not going to do any better than that. Just rely and trust in what Jesus did for you. Okay, that's what the day of Pentecost is all about. When these two covenants came to a head, and one was wrapped up and closed off, and the other one began. That's what the day of Pentecost is all about. Okay, as I said back there, when that one was given, 3,000 died. When this one was given, 3,000 brought life. That is the administration of death. No wonder 3,000 died. This is the administration of life. No wonder 3,000 got saved. The administration of righteousness. Praise God.